Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Well, I've had a bit of an interesting morning, which may result in today's episode maybe not being quite as long as normal. We'll see. I was up at 3 with my wife, who was having some severe back pain. Turns out she's got kidney stones, so we spent the morning in the hospital trying to get that remedied, which as an American is a very fun experience, knowing that they'll send you home with some pain medications, and a couple months later you'll get a bill for $4,000 or whatever it may be in the mail. Luckily, they said that it looks like it's about to pass, so hopefully she does not have to experience that pain much longer. Anyway, I wanted to read a couple of articles today talking specifically about some massive heat waves and fires that are happening in Australia. They are recording consecutive 50 degrees Celsius days. They are on at least day 5 of temperatures over 49 degrees in many parts of South Australia. And at least 2 of those South Australia locations have reached 50 degrees Celsius during the past 2 days. One interesting stat that a commenter mentioned here was that between 1957 and 2007, there were only 9 years when somewhere in Australia officially reached 49 degrees Celsius or above. So that's a 50-year period prior to 2007 in which only 9 of those 50 years hit 49 degrees Celsius in any part of Australia. Well, between 2008 and 2026, a 19-year period, 14 of those 19 years have recorded a temperature of at least 49 degrees Celsius. And then they mentioned that additional to that stat, this week's heat wave has now brought 5 straight days over 49 degrees Celsius. Just for reference for my American friends, 50 degrees Celsius is 122 degrees Fahrenheit. Another article, this one in The Guardian, talking about the Australian heat waves, says, many stations have set their all-time high records, with 2 stations in the state of Victoria potentially surpassing records that have held since Black Saturday in 2009. This is accompanied by fires in Australia. We talked about that a few episodes ago. Interestingly, somebody posted a photo of steak and the different temperatures that you have to cook steak at to get different levels of cooked, right? So you've got rare, medium rare. To cook a steak to rare, you need between 49 and 50 degrees Celsius. So the people of Australia essentially are being cooked to a rare level. Obviously, hopefully people are able to mitigate this with air conditioning. They're staying inside. They're staying in the shade. A luxury that steaks do not get to enjoy on a grill. All right. If you're in Australia, I hope you are staying safe. I hope you're staying well, and we'll keep an eye on this heat wave and these fires. One interesting article, and this is just a couple of weeks old, but I find it fascinating and relevant to this topic, is that Spain's meteorologists are subjected to alarming rise in hate speech. The subheading says, Environment Minister says attacks on social media affect perceptions of meteorology and denigrate researchers' work. The minister said one study had found that 17.6% of those hostile messages posted on the social media network X included hate speech, personal attacks, and denigration directed at professionals who work to share correct and verified scientific information. Augustin, who was also one of Spain's 3 deputy prime ministers, said the research revealed a surge in the intensity, frequency, and violence of the attacks, which affect both meteorologists and other scientific communication professionals. One study into the hate speech directed at Spain's State Meteorological Office, AMET, found that such attacks affected public perceptions of meteorology and had a direct impact on scientific work. Social pressure and smear campaigns can discourage scientists from interacting with the public or even communicating their research openly. Quote, this chilling effect can limit the advance of scientific knowledge and restrict public access to accurate and high-quality information. In addition, the spread of conspiracy theories about climate control and weather manipulation directly affects the perception of the current climate alert. Denial that extreme weather events are a result of global warming finds support in these theories, undermining global efforts to mitigate and respond to climate change. Another study from 2024 found that climate emergency denialism was especially prevalent on X, with denialism identified in 49% of posts and climate-related hate speech in 17.6% of posts. Now, this one's interesting. Obviously, the article is talking specifically about meteorologists in Spain, but that's because this is where this research has been focused. This is clearly happening all over the world. I've seen it here in the U.S. Anytime, whether it's a meteorologist or a climate scientist, whatever, tries to put out a post about the weather, there are always attacks. And X in particular is egregious for this as it becomes more and more of sort of a right-wing echo chamber. Especially interesting in the article is where it talks of the reticence that this creates. We talk a lot about scientific reticence, but it's usually because of the institutions, the systems that keep scientists from speaking boldly, you know, about the truth. But this shows that the pressure also comes from individuals who can make scientists feel threatened and otherwise just trying to avoid talking about their sciences because of the hostility that is waged on them. All right, and lastly today, let's talk about fires. There have been ongoing fires in Patagonia, and I have touched on these a couple of weeks ago, and they still rage on. So this is in Argentina and in Chile. This article in The Guardian is titled, "The Land Will Be Left as Ashes, Why Patagonia's Wildfires Are Almost Impossible to Stop." I'm going to read just a few paragraphs from this. So it says, Lucas Chiappe had known for a long time that the fire was coming. For decades, the environmentalist had warned that replacing native trees in the Andes mountain range with highly flammable foreign pine was a recipe for disaster. In early January, flames raced down the Pirque Hill and edged closer to his home in the Patagonian town of Epoyen, Argentina, where he had lived since the 1970s. 30 people with 6 motor pumps fought for hours, hoses stretched for kilometers, but, quote, there was no way. We had to throw all our equipment into the stream and get the hell out of there, he says, as he recalls fleeing as the inferno engulfed his house. The dragon chased us until we crossed the river, and we had to speed between 2 fire columns along a trail barely a kilometer wide. Now, this article is a few days old at this point, 3 or 4 days, but it says that since January 5th, well, and I should say it's a few days old as of the time that I'm recording this. I'm recording it on the 30th of January, so by the time you're hearing it, the article is maybe 10 days old or so, which means that there's likely been, you know, these numbers have grown. But it says that around 90,000 acres of native forests, grassland, villages, and tourist resorts in Patagonia have been ravaged by these wildfires, while Greenpeace says the affected area is more than that, well over 100,000 acres. One commenter on the post talked about how a similar thing is happening in Canada, where basically the native forest is being torn down and replaced by tree farms. It says, we've done exactly the same, replaced our natural forests with pine, cedar, and hemlock. Cedar is a native tree, but they haven't replaced deciduous trees, the ones that slow down fires. Maple, cascara, aspen, cottonwood, alder, higher moisture but sold for less money. We're so stupid. And other people agreed and talked about how this is a common practice. We treat these as the native forest as if, hey, we're doing good because we've got forest, but really what it is a farm. And that farm, which may have foreign species or species that are not natural to the environment and are much more susceptible to burning and wildfires, you mix that with the heat waves and the droughts that many places in the world today are experiencing, and you get this cyclical event, right, where essentially you'll get heavy rains in an area for a while. That will spur a ton of tree growth. Then you have drought, which kills off the trees or dries out the underbrush and all those types of things, which makes it really susceptible to fire. Then you have massive fires, which clears out the area, making it ready to grow new trees once it starts raining again. And of course, this cycle will continue to intensify as heat increases, as drought increases, and as the amount of moisture in the atmosphere, meaning heavier rain events when they do happen, this cycle is just going to get worse. An article from the BBC is titled, Chile Declares State of Catastrophe as Deadly Wildfires Menace Cities. It says at least 16 people are confirmed dead in the Nuble and Biobío regions, and I have heard that that number has increased now to 18 at least. At least 20,000 have been evacuated, 250 homes destroyed, 50,000 acres burned and growing. 2 years ago, forest fires killed at least 120 people in Valparaíso region near Santiago. So anyway, just highlights that many different parts of the world are on fire right now. Many are expecting in the Northern Hemisphere this summer to be especially bad for wildfires, and that's something that we'll have to keep our eyes on. All right, thanks for being here. I'm going to go take a nap. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.